Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to episode number 15 of the Reverent Babble Podcast. This is Cody Kelly.
Hey everybody, it's Neil.
And we are so happy that you have come back to join us for some more Reverent Babble. Hey, that one wasn't so bad that time.
That was a good, hey, that's a first take too.
Right. I mean, like, I was honestly kind of surprised I got that on the first take. Like, I think that's the first time that we've, like, added that part into the intro that we've actually gotten it right on the first take this time.
Yeah, don't talk about it too much because we'll have to stop and edit it here in just a second.
If we keep
bragging about the first take.
Oh, yeah. Yes, so just welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And Neil, how are things going with you, man? What's new with you?
Pretty good this week, man. Started a few things. Well, one thing that was new happened today, actually.
Oh, really?
Tuesday. Yeah, guess what happened to me today?
What happened to you today?
I had to get tested for the COVID.
What?
And don't freak out.
Okay, I was about to say, wait a minute, this is news to me.
I'm sick or anything like that. They made it like a policy at work where we all had to get tested.
Okay.
Nobody knew about it until today. I got a phone call from my boss while I was on the mower. Said, hey, we got to ride up to the wellness van and get tested. And I said, oh, no.
Ah, man.
So I can officially report that test feels not too good. Imagine a toilet brush, miniature form. You know what a toilet brush looks like. Very stiff brush, bristles, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, it's like very stiff.
Up into your nose cavity.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure she got the backside of my eyeball.
Oh man, you're putting bad images in my head.
I have felt like I have needed to sneeze since about 10:15 this morning.
Aww.
And have yet to do so. But that's about it, according to the test part.
Sounds interesting.
Stay safe, Cody. Try to prevent the point to where you don't have to get tested, which I thought I was avoiding this, you know. What's it been, how many months since March? It's August, yeah. So quick math, 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Yeah.
We can add and subtract. So 5 months into this mess, I thought I was going to avoid being tested, you know, but that streak ended today, just like the Undertaker streak ended at WrestleMania. Thanks a lot, Brock Lesnar. And hold on just a second. We'll have another special guest here in just a second.
Oh, okay.
Hello. You on the podcast again?
Oh, man.
Again? 2 weeks in a row?
Yes.
2 weeks in a row.
If it's after 3, we're recording.
My bad.
Nah, you're good.
We haven't got to the question part yet. What's going on?
I was just calling to say hey.
Well, hey.
Hi. That's cool. You can just call me back. I'm headed to get the boys, so you can just call me back whenever you get done.
All right. Well, it sounds good. I'll call you back. I'll call you back during the break in just a second.
Oh, that's fun. Hey, Cody.
Hey, Amber, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing all right. Just chilling.
You keep this up, we're going to have to get you a microphone.
I might have to come join in. I got some stuff to complain about.
Ooh. All right, go ahead. I got the soapbox here.
I'm just kidding. I'll talk to you in a few.
All right, love you.
I love you too.
All right, bye. Sorry about that, folks.
Nah, it's all good, man. It honestly makes it a lot more fun for me to edit because, like, there's actually, like, a lot of more, you know, like, there's a lot more things I have to listen out for than just, you know, like, different topics to... You know, like different topics to begin and end and moving on to the next thing. So that's kind of nice.
But as I was finishing what was new with me before, it's okay, Amber. You can call me anytime. I am your husband. That's part of the vows. We can, you know, communicate at all times. I kind of put together a prayer closet in the house.
Oh.
You ever seen that movie War Room? You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I have seen that movie.
So I kind of made like a makeshift, quote unquote, war room. We call it a prayer closet. In our master closet in our bedroom.
That's cool.
I kind of gave up some space on my side of the closet. Got us a lamp. A cork board should be here either today or tomorrow to put like sticky notes up on for prayer stuff.
Yeah.
Got us a composition book. Got our Bibles in there. I've been getting up the past 2 days at 4:30 in the morning to go in there and just have some quiet time when both Amber and Graham are still asleep.
That's cool,
and
man.
It's been really good. I mean, it's 3:30 in the afternoon now. I'm tired. I've been up for a while, you know, but it's been so worth it to start the day off that way. And I admit, once I get done, I get halfway ready and then go back to bed for about 30, 45 minutes. but it has been great to start the day off in that kind of mindset for sure.
Right.
And I'll tell you the coolest thing, and then I'll be done, let you talk. The coolest thing in our prayer closet, you want to know what it is, Cody?
What?
I have a light bulb in our lamp, which helps, you know, the lamp to actually work.
This isn't
just any ordinary light bulb.
Of course it's not. What is it?
This light bulb has a Bluetooth speaker in the light bulb.
A Bluetooth speaker in the light bulb?
In the light bulb. It's an LED light bulb. It came with a remote, so you can dim it. You can turn up the
volume. That's cool.
It plays music. All that stuff. So I just
I'll buy a light bulb.
That way, it's not just dead silent in there when you're, you know, praying or reading it. We've been playing like instrumental music. That way, words and lyrics don't distract us and things like that.
Oh yeah, sure.
But it's been really cool.
Wow,
so
man.
Far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That sounds pretty cool, man. Yeah. I'm glad you guys were able to do that, man. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, and I highly recommend it. If you have space in your house to do it. Do it. I was excited about it and finally said, you know what, we're going to do it, and I hadn't thought twice about it, so
that's awesome.
It's been cool. So what's new with you Cody?
What's new with me? Okay, well, Neil, good news is that I don't have to talk about teeth this week because I was last week.
Well, good job. I guess all them holes healed up so far, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Deal.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
are you still on the mashed potatoes and yogurt diet? Are you a big boy now and growing up to solid foods?
I'm a big boy now. I'm actually eating like I'm actually having food that's actually hard and not like, like I'm actually eating food that's hard and it's not like, and it's not all soft and mushy and it's not my favorite foods. And so now I'm actually able to eat like chicken and burgers and all the stuff I normally eat. So I'm definitely happy about that.
Good
for
job.
Sure. Yeah. But as far as things that have been new with me last week, I went to my sister's house this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and I got to visit them for the last time in person for a while because they're fixing to move to Arizona, like I've told you before, and I think I mentioned it on the podcast before as well, that they're fixing to move to Arizona.
Because your brother-in-law's in the Army, right?
Yes, he is. And they'll be going there for like 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
And possibly more if he chooses to stay.
Sure.
Or if not, you know, we'll just see what happens there. But that was definitely a lot of fun. Really enjoyed it. Obviously, the very end was very... very emotional, to say the least.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
sure.
Everybody in the house was definitely choking up pretty good. I tried to hold it in the best I could, but once I saw one of my four little nephews kind of get a little bit choked up and he was about to cry, I lost it after that.
I can't blame you on that, man.
Yeah. I was trying to hold it in, keep the tears in, but then once I saw him tear up, I couldn't help it. And, you know, but anyway... It was definitely an emotional experience, but it was a fun one. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the opportunity of them being here the last 4.5-5 years or so, and I've gotten to be only 2 hours or so from where we both live, and I just really got the opportunity, you know, like, I just had a lot of fun. I enjoyed the opportunities that we got to spend with them and just hang out with them, and I got to see my four nephews grow as well as me. I mean, like... when I first met him, I was 13. Now I'm 18, so obviously a lot's changed since then. So just having them for that time was definitely a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to seeing them again in person eventually at some point. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But in the meantime, I'm looking forward to all the FaceTimes and Zoom calls and texts that I'm gonna have over the next little while until that happens. But you know. That pretty much sums it up for me. I know that was a little bit of a long-winded take on it.
Story,
but
this story time with Cody was brought to you by whatever Major League Baseball hat he has on today.
Yes.
That being the Minnesota Twins.
Yes.
Well, cool deal, Cody. Well, we got a good show lined up. We're going to take a little break before Cody introduces his Devo topic for this week's episode. And I'm going to call my wife back since she called during the episode. I'm not complaining, Amber. It's okay. Don't get upset. I'll bring you iced coffee home, okay?
Ooh, that sounds
all right.
Good.
Oh, by the way, before we close out intro, I saw it on my Snapchat memories. I think it was either this week or last week, that 1 year ago was the new song concert, Cody. So happy,
yes, it was.
Happy friendiversary, buddy.
Happy friendiversary, man.
All right, let's take a break. Hey, y'all. It's Neil here. While Cody and I are sitting back, taking a little break, maybe taking a sip of water or who knows what, just want to thank y'all for listening to the podcast. We got a good show lined up today, and just wanted to let you know that if you hadn't subscribed yet, please subscribe if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and so many more. If you want to get in touch with us and you don't see us, you don't see our beautiful faces every day, you can email us if that's what you're into, reverendbabble@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Reverend Babble. There's links to mine and Cody's personal Twitter accounts on that page as well. We're also on Instagram and Facebook now, at Reverend Babble on Instagram, keeping it simple. And just search Reverend Babble Podcast on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a follow. If you want to talk to us, like I said, we'll talk right back. But enough of that. Let's get back to the show.
All right, and we're back. Welcome to the Double Play TiVo portion of the show. And it's like we've said in previous episodes, you know, like this is a podcast where we talk about different sports topics and our favorite teams and different things that happen in different sports. But this is ultimately a Christian podcast as well. And this is really the main reason why we began this podcast is because we wanted to share our wildlife experiences and just different topics that came across to our minds with y'all because they had an impact on us. We just wanted to share them with y'all in hopes that they may have a positive impact on you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's easy to go all in on sports because they're exciting and they're right in front of your face, and especially now that they're back, you know, it's exciting to get all into it. And well, we have plenty of sports to talk about in about, you know, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, but we'll get to it in just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But we need to go all in on Christ, too, just like that.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just like that Matthew West song says, I'm going all in. Hey, Matthew, I told you that we had a podcast. I listened to your podcast. We need to do a collaboration if you're listening.
Hey, absolutely.
Shoot me a DM, buddy. We're friends now. You did me a favor, okay? You sang a song for my wife that gave me some awesome husband points. But, okay, Matthew, appreciate you listening, if you are.
All right, man.
But we got a good Devo topic today. This is Cody's week to talk about. And Cody's talking about God knowing stuff already, God's already knowing what he has for us in the future. So go for it, Cody.
All right, Neil. So so honestly, this is kind of funny because the topic for this week was actually the topic for this week I actually found while mowing my grass this past Thursday.
You know, that is where the best thoughts come from, is on the lawnmower.
On the lawnmower. You know what? That is true. Hey, there we go. Yeah, that's for the win. Yeah. Cutting grass for the win. That's right. But anyway, so I came up with the idea for this topic while cutting the grass this past Thursday, and it was actually while I was listening to a podcast. And during this podcast, they actually have a small couple minute segment on the show where they find different Christian songs and they try to find different verses of scripture that kind of correlate where the song comes from and kind of where they think the song is inspired by and where are the lyrics in this song or where's the idea behind the song
mentioned in scripture.
Right.
Yeah. Which is also a good approach for a youth pastor. If, that's what I've learned in my 3 years of youth ministry that, you know, sometimes, you know, coming up with lessons and sermons every week can sometimes, what am I going to do now? You know?
Oh yeah.
Sometimes hearing a song sparks you. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's find the scripture behind that and do a lesson. I mean, I did that last week.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So, if you any new time youth pastors or newly into ministry that you want to do something like that, just go listen to, you know, any kind of Christian music. It'll pop in your head. The Lord works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he works in musical ways.
That is true. That's for sure. But so the song that they were talking about in this episode of the podcast was a song by a Christian artist that's like obviously not like the most popular name. Like she's not on K-Love or anything, but she is a Christian artist. Her name is JJ Heller, and she came out with this song a few months ago. It was I think it was like in either late April or early May. It was during the early months of the pandemic that, you know, that we're currently in and still in.
Well, you mean to tell me there's more than one female Christian singer and that's not Lauren Daigle?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I am.
Well,
yeah.
According to K-Love, she's the only one.
Yeah.
By the way, my wife loves Lauren Daigle, Carrie Jobe. You know, they all sing awesome.
Oh, yes.
But it's good to hear that there's somebody else out there, too.
Yes, for sure. But this song by J.J. Heller that they were playing on the podcast was called You Already Know.
Okay.
And it's a very soft song, but it's a really good song. You know, but, you know, it obviously applies to the whole world during this pandemic at this time. But it can also apply to, you know, our everyday Christian walk as well. You know, like as all good Christian songs do, you know, like they can apply to many different, you know, they can apply to many different things.
And well, it's just like scripture that, I mean, you can read it one time in life and it means one thing.
And you read,
it later on when you're older and it fits something completely different. Not that, you know, the Bible is confusing, but it can just fit into all sorts of situations.
Right. And that's what makes reading the Bible so cool and why it's different from any other book is because you can read the same thing many different times throughout the course of your life, but it can mean, like, you can read the same verse, but it can mean different things according to your different stages of life that you're in or just different trials and circumstances that you come across in your life as well, and it can mean different things. And that's one of the things I really liked about this song, and it's called You Already Know, like I've already mentioned. And basically what this verse talks about is, obviously, even though we're going through, you know, like different circumstances in our life, you know, like whether it's this pandemic we're currently in or whether it's something that you're going through in your own personal life, just having that hope that God already knows what's going to happen no matter what situation you're in. And you just have that peace that he's always got your back and he's there with you through the good times as well as through the bad times, even though it's obviously not easy a lot of time when you go through something tough, just having that hope that God already knows your situation.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can put your trust in him is really cool. And basically in that podcast, like I said, you know, they have that little segment of the show where they talk about different songs and or different verses that basically are where this song comes from. And really the main verse they were talking about in this little segment was in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And they mainly focused on verse 8, but I wanted to read the last couple of verses before that. So Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. I think you already found that.
Yeah, I got it pulled up.
You want to read that?
Yeah, it says starting verse 6, right? In Deuteronomy 31.
Yes, please.
It says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one, capital O, he is the one He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to their land, which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he is the one, another capital, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed.
And, you know, and that was obviously really cool to hear. And obviously, you know, like I've been in church my whole life and, you know, and so have you. And you've heard, you know, like verses like these multiple times, you know, but when you're going through something, just kind of hearing that again one more time, it means something different. You know, it's like it means something more important. It means something different because when you're going through something, that's the first thing you want to hear is that you don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. And it's obviously through those hard times to where we can rely on God even more, which is obviously like why we go through some hard times. Is that so we can draw closer to God through those hard times and through our relationships. But, you know, like going towards the end of that passage, going to verse 8, you know, it says, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you and he will be with you and he will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And if you look at the lyrics of that, if you look at those lyrics by J.J. Heller, like pretty much those exact words are in the chorus. And so you can obviously tell that's where she got at least part of her inspiration had to have been through a verse or one similar to it. And it's just knowing that hope that we have, that God is always there with us and he already knows what we're going through. I mean, like he knows what we're going through, but he also knows how it's going to turn out for us and it's going to turn out for our good. Like it says in Romans 8:28, which is actually not one of the verses that I had planned, but that one just kind of came across my head right then in the moment. But the reason why I wanted to include verses six and seven in this is because this is basically the portion of the story where the Israelites have just They have just finished their 40 years of wandering through the wilderness and just about to go into the promised land. But this is basically where Moses is talking to Joshua, and he's basically handing over the reins of being in charge of the people over to Joshua, you know, because Moses couldn't go into the promised land.
If they'd have listened to God a little bit more, maybe they'd have found it a little bit quicker.
Probably so.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, probably so. But, you know, but this is basically the portion of this, of the story where Moses is basically turning over the chain of command to Joshua. And obviously this is very important to Joshua. And I think it's really cool that they added that little bit of conversation between Moses and Joshua in this, because it makes it more personal and you can kind of feel how Joshua was feeling. Cause you know, like, I mean, it's obviously, you know, a pretty big deal, you know, to, you know, kind of, you know, take over as the new human leader of the people, you know, from
no pressure,
Moses.
No pressure taken after Moses though, right?
Right, pretty sure. Right, for sure. So this is basically Moses telling Joshua that he doesn't have to be afraid. But then also in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, which
is brought back up again.
It's brought up again, right. But instead of Moses telling Joshua, it's God telling Joshua.
It's God reminding Joshua of what he told Moses to tell Joshua.
Right. You know, and to not be afraid of what might happen during his time as leader, because God had already prepared for them to win the victory and, you know, like to win the victory over the people of Jericho and, you know, Jericho and Ai and all those other cities that, you know, that they had to take over to win the promised land. Like, God already knew, and that gave Joshua hope that he was reminded by both Moses and God that God already knows what you're going through and he's going to be there for you no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously this next verse I've already mentioned before in other topics I've talked about, but I thought this one applied to this one as well. And this is in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You know, and I've obviously heard this one plenty of times, but I'm going to read this one again. And it's in, like I said, it's in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So I thought that was a cool verse to kind of add on to it, because it's like God already knows what's going to happen for us, even in the midst of a struggle. But here in Jeremiah, he's reminding us that I already know the thoughts and the plans I already have out for you in your life. It's just that you just have to believe in me and believe that I already know what's going on in your life and I know what you're going through, because I went through some struggles when I was here on earth as You know, like, I know what it's like to go through hard times and be in your, I know what it's like to go through hard times and be in your position. And just, you know, and like for us as Christians to have that, you know, to have that knowledge and that hope that God already knows. I know I've said this 100 times, but, you know, but just to have that hope that God already knows what you're going through in your life is a really powerful thing. And I just thought it was really neat and just really cool to be able to think about that in a big way, you know, because, like, at least for me personally here recently, like, I've just had a hard time just, you know, like, processing what my next chapter of life's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen as far as my, you know, as far as college, my future job, career, really, like, a lot of things I've been thinking about recently as far as that goes. And whenever I heard that song, like I said, like, I wasn't trying to find a song. I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to a podcast while I was cutting grass. I mean, it's not like I was actively trying to find something in that, but just God showing me through that song and through these passages of scripture was a really big reminder to me that God already knows what you're going through. He knows what's going on in your life right now, but he knows how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that good or bad, everything's going to turn out for good, for his glory. If you follow him, if you follow him and you just believe and trust him, that he's got really good things in store for you, no matter what you're going through. So that was pretty cool to me. I really enjoyed that.
And like I've said on here before and told y'all at church probably 1,000 times now, God looks at us like you're in a hot air balloon looking at a parade, okay? And if you're up in the sky at a parade, you can see the beginning of the parade and you can see the end of the parade.
Right.
When you're on the street, on the sidewalk, you can only see what's in front of you.
What's
at the
in
moment,
front of you.
Right? I mean, you can look kind of back and look kind of forward, but it's not, you can't, you, unless you got really good eyesight or it's really flat and really clear day, you know, you can't see the very beginning and the very end. Okay.
Right.
God already knows the stuff that he has planned out for you. And I think we all are guilty of looking too far ahead sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like you saying, you don't know what your career is going to be. Right now, Cody, today and this week and even this month, you don't have to know that just yet. Maybe even until 2021, you don't have to know. I mean, if you go to any other school, if you go to a school like UNC Charlotte, I didn't have to declare a major till my end of my sophomore year. So I had plenty of time to figure out what I was going to do. So, you know, this whole idea that's just in this world today that you got to know everything right now, instant. What's tomorrow? What's after that? What's after that? That drives people crazy, and it stresses people out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And just one verse I thought of right off the top of my head as you were talking and I looked it up. You know, it says in Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow, okay? Jesus is saying, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. We got enough stuff to think about today, right now.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And tomorrow, we'll have enough stuff to think about tomorrow. Now, I know I have church tomorrow, and I know what I'm talking about tomorrow night, but I'm not worried about all the other stuff, what may happen tomorrow, because I don't need to, right? Today isn't over yet. I can worry about that stuff when I wake up in the morning at 4:30 and go back in my prayer closet, right? But, yeah, God knows what you've been through. He was there. God knows what's going on right now, and God knows what's going to happen in the future. No need to worry. No need to freak out. He's there.
All right. And with that note, I guess we'll be going on to sports.
Let's go.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I hope you guys are enjoying the show. Just wanted to take a second just to let you guys know that if you have any prayer needs or just something on your mind, you can always contact us through our social medias. They are in the show notes in the description of this podcast. And just always wanted to let you know that that's always available. If you just want to talk to somebody, if you have any questions, just let us know. And I hope you guys are having a great day. And now back to the show.
We're back, and it's sports time. Time to update y'all on the week that was in the world of sports. This is the... thought I was going to get him.
I thought, man.
This is the weekly score.
The weekly score.
I thought I was going to trick you.
You thought
good
you were going
to
get me.
Good job.
You just thought you were going to get me.
Your Madden awareness rating is 99. Good job. Man. Good job, Cody.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, welcome to the weekly score, folks. We got some interesting... sports topics and discussions and some few articles to read today. So, Cody, go ahead. What you got, man?
All righty. Neil, the Philadelphia 76ers, I know it's crazy. I'm starting out with NBA, not MLB for once. But don't you worry. After this quick story, I'll be going back to Major League Baseball. Don't worry.
Okay.
But anyway, the Philadelphia 76ers fired head coach Brett Brown after 7 seasons.
How shocking.
Well, I honestly wasn't surprised after that happens.
No.
You know what I mean? But, you know, like with as big of expectations as the 76ers had going into this season, and then they get swept in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You could kind of see that coming. It kind of helped he was on the hot seat before the season even started.
Yeah, I don't think we can trust the process any longer, Cody. Has been processed.
Yes. Yes, the process has pretty much been processed. But I am going to hand it to Brett Brown, because whenever he first came to the 76ers, they were trash, pretty much. I mean, Yeah. I mean, like, whenever he first came to the team, the 76ers were not that good of a team, and once his time with the 76ers is over, they are now a legit playoff contending team for the most part. I mean, like,
they had some front office issues that
came
up.
They definitely had some front office issues,
and
yes.
Really killed their momentum and their quote-unquote
process
that
yeah.
led them to getting embarrassed by the Celtics. By the way, congrats, Kemba Walker, on actually winning a playoff series. Good job.
Yeah, I know. Good for him.
But yeah, the process is over, man.
Oh, I know.
I think a rebuild's coming. They have to reprocess the process.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have a question for you, Cody, about that. If you were in charge of the Sixers right now,
okay,
I think you have to get rid of either Simmons or Embiid in this rebuild.
Okay.
I don't think that I think they're two good players.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they're good together. I don't think they pair well together.
No. I mean, one of the most important parts of, like, obviously sports in general is to have a good structured team, you know, but it's, you know, it's super important when you're playing basketball, you know, because you can only have five guys on the floor at one
right.
time.
Right. So my question is, if you were the GM of the Sixers,
okay,
would you rather reprocess around Simmons or go rogue against what the rest of the league does and build around Embiid and build around a big man? What would you do?
I would honestly, I don't know. I think if I had to, like, make a really quick choice as to who I would prefer over Embiid or Simmons, I think I'm going to go with Simmons. I'm going to go with Simmons because you can't beat a good guard, in my opinion. I was about to say,
Well, you know he can't shoot very well.
Yes. Yes.
Coming from a guy that can't shoot very well either, so.
Yes. I am aware that he doesn't shoot the greatest, but I think he has enough potential to get better to where he's at. You know, like, better from where he's at right now than Joel Embiid does.
Okay, so you think Embiid's hit his ceiling?
I think the way Joel Embiid's playing, I think he can't get that much better unless he does some dramatic changes in the way he thinks of the game and the way he's going to go about doing it. You know, because really, honestly, in my opinion, you know, like, I'm not trying to be a jerk or be mean to Joel Embiid when I say this, but I don't think he works hard enough.
Okay.
I think from last season to this season, he definitely improved as far as his work ethic goes. Like, he took time to get in a little bit of better shape before going into last year. Obviously, before the end of the year, that kind of tailed off a little bit, you know, going to the end of this season. But I think he definitely improved. But I think for Embiid, I think Joel Embiid wants to be the superstar alone.
Okay.
In my opinion, like, if you ask me, and, like, here's the thing. I don't obviously know Joel Embiid. I could be completely wrong about this. But I could see Joel Embiid wanting to just be like, okay, I don't want to have to rely on anyone else to be the guy. He doesn't want to have to share reps with a younger up-and-coming player like Ben Simmons.
Okay. Well, my side of things, I would rather build around Embiid.
You would rather build around Embiid?
And it's not a matter of the discussion of player progression.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we don't know how these guys, when they reach the ceiling, here and there.
Right.
And that's a whole nother debate. I think you go opposite of what everybody's doing and build around a big man, because sometimes these teams get super good, but they lack size at the same time.
That makes sense.
Now, the
Rockets, for example.
Yeah, the Rockets are pretty daggum good, but they have a guy that's 6'5", P.J. Tucker, playing center, okay?
Yeah, I know.
And I'm 6'5", and I'm tall for a normal human being. That's very, very short.
For a center.
That's a point guard, shooting guard in most cases, right?
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is a hindrance at all.
No.
But I think if you get him out of Philly, Embiid can be that guy that he wants to be. That's what I think.
That makes sense.
And you also get rid of Al Horford, who is one of the softest guys in the NBA, okay? Props to him. He's a smart businessman. Who wouldn't say no to all that money that Philadelphia offered him when they got out of Boston? But he's not. He's like a tall Nick Batum, basically.
Yeah.
I think you build around Embiid.
Well, I can definitely see why the 76ers would build around Embiid, though, because they are one of those teams who actually would go against what everybody else is doing just to say that they're not doing it like everyone else is doing
right.
You know, like, just because that's kind of the perspective that they've had in recent years anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like, trust the process because our process is better than everyone else's because we're doing it differently.
Right.
Embiid
was the start of that process.
Right, right.
And I think Simmons
he was the start of that process,
down.
And Simmons has kind of worked his way
and
in.
And then Markelle Fultz put it at a standstill, and then they got rid of him. You know,
yeah.
But I mean, like I said, but it's a shame that Brown got fired. It was coming.
Yeah,
he knew it was coming. They got waxed by the Celtics.
They got absolutely killed in that series.
I mean, you can lose 4-0 and lose by 2 each game. They got whooped. Jason Tatum is showing why he was the best player in that draft when he was drafted.
Yes.
Markelle Fultz was picked before him, by the way. But yeah, it's a process is being reprocessed in Philadelphia.
Yes, that's for sure. All right.
Good discussion, Cody.
Yes. Well,
we sound like a sports podcast.
Yes, we do. We actually sound like a sports podcast. We actually like have a discussion of, you know, we actually have different opinions in that discussion. Uh-huh. So that's kind of nice.
That's right.
I like that. All right. So next, time for MLB news. The MLB trade deadline is coming up in 6 days from this recording. It'll be 6 days from this recording because it's on the 31st. Wait a minute. There are 31 days in August, right?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Okay. So I'm right.
No. Wait. Yes. Yes, they are. I mean, we have a calendar on the wall, Cody.
Yeah.
I could have just looked up there, but I was trying to, you know, be smart and that didn't work that time.
Well, the calendar on the wall does have Clayton Kershaw on it. So
that's probably
why
I don't
want
to
look at
it. Yeah.
You know, but anyway, the MLB trade deadline is less than a week away, and the Red Sox have already made a trade.
Are you getting Mookie Becks back?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I mean, but like the Red Sox have already made a trade. They traded Brandon Workman and Heath Hembree for a couple players on the Phillies. So, and the Phillies pen, you can say, got a little bit better. But if you watch, Brandon Workman's first appearance with Philly, you could think otherwise.
Brandon Workman got worked.
Yes, he did.
In one pitch, he
came in and two runs scored. So
that's right.
You know, one pitch, his first pitch as a Philly, two runs scored. See?
If you can't tell by the joy and
laughter.
That's
why the Red Sox shouldn't trade him, because he's better in Boston.
If you can't tell by the joy and laughter in my voice, it was against the Braves.
Yes, it was against the Braves.
I texted you immediately.
Yes, you did. As soon as it happens, and I'm like, well, but like, what was honestly kind of sad is because I actually like hyped up Brandon Workman. I'm like, Brandon Workman was our best reliever. He's all this and all that. And then he just comes in and, you know.
Oh, that shows you how bad the Red Sox are.
Okay, come on, man. We've literally just started the MLB discussion. Can we at least wait to trash my team until later in this segment?
I'm sorry.
Okay. But anyway, so the trade deadline's coming up. There's been some talk about which teams are going to buy, which teams are going to sell this year. The Red Sox have obviously been a team that has said they're looking to sell this year, which doesn't surprise me at all because we are 9-20 and we need to just rebuild and get better. But like, I was honestly saying that during the 2019 season because I could just see how different the team was from 2018. I was thinking, you know, like I was honestly thinking, okay, we just need to just we just need to rethink and restart and just do all this again. So here we can, you know, we can actually be competitive for the next little while. And the reason why I was feeling that way even last year was because of how good the Rays and Yankees were.
Right.
And, you know, like how good they were last year. And both of them look like they're just as good, if not better, this year. So for me as a Red Sox fan, I say we rebuild, take the next couple years to just not shoot for playoffs, but to rebuild our minor league organization, because once we made the trades for Craig Kimbrell and Chris Sale in 2016 and 2017, we pretty much lost all of our good prospects in the farm system after those two trades for Craig Kimbrell and Chris Sale both, and we need to redevelop the farm system. So if you're asking me, I think we should just take time to rebuild and, you know, take time to rebuild, and I definitely think the Red Sox will be sellers of the trade deadline.
Sounds like Smalls agrees with you, too.
Yes. Yes, I think he does, because he's actually biting my hand right now. I'm trying to talk and while he's biting my hand at the same time. It's really difficult.
I'm glad he's distracting you for a change instead of me.
Oh, I know.
But I don't think the Red Sox need to make any more moves this year. Do you?
I don't personally think so.
I don't see the reason to at this point.
If you're asking me, I don't personally think so, but I've heard a lot of rumors saying that they might trade Xander Bogaerts, which doesn't exactly make sense because they signed to like a 6-year contract extension this year.
Well, unless they're just going full rebuild, they're just going to get rid of everybody.
Right. So. Right. But the reason why I'm hesitant about them doing that is because Xander Bogaerts is a guy that we have locked up long term. He's under contract till 2026. And we just gave him that contract extension after last season.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, so if you're asking me, it doesn't really make much sense to offer the guy a 6-year extension after 2020 and then just trade him the year before that extension really even starts.
Yeah,
I mean, that's why that just doesn't make any sense to me. And the reason why I say keep him around is because if you go into the future, you at least have a building block for the next couple years and maybe by the time he's towards the end of that contract, maybe the Red Sox will actually be a pretty decent team again.
Yeah, and I don't see the Braves making any moves.
No.
That I would love to get some consistent starting pitching because our rotation is just shot.
Well,
but I don't know who we would give up to get a decent starter. You know what I mean?
Well, if the Braves were to go get and get something, it would obviously be starting pitching. As far as who they would give up, they would have to, you know,
and
like,
I don't think it's worth it this year.
They would have to give up really good, either really good prospects or really good players that are already on their team as far as offense is concerned, because that's the only thing that would make sense to me. If the Braves were to trade, they would have to give up a really good prospect, which they have many of, but a lot of the people on the pitching staff are a little bit older, so you have those younger guys or prospects to come up here in the next year or so to kind of fill out those roster spots anyway.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, if you ask me, if the Braves were to make moves to add, they would have to give up too much to, you know, like they would have to give up too much and it just wouldn't help anything, you know, like it would hurt the team in the long run more than they would help it in the present time. So if you ask me, I think the Braves should just kind of stay where they're at because they're already in first place anyway. You know, like as of right now, they're already in first place.
Where are they, Cody? Say it again.
I already said it.
No, say it one more time.
I already said it.
Just one more time.
First place.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Just wanted to be clear out there on the airwaves.
Okay. You're welcome. But anyway, but with that being said, who are some other teams you think could, you know, who do you think should add or should sell?
Well, I mean, you look at the A's, they can always, I mean, they're on a tear. They might be making some runs at somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely the Twins, maybe somebody like that. Honestly, that's the only two that came to my mind. I don't really follow AL that much, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
But those are the two teams that just kind of popped in my head at first.
All right. Well, if you ask me, I think that the San Francisco Giants should definitely try to sell because, you know, like they have a lot of big contracts on the team for the next few years. So I think in order for them to actually have a pretty good rebuilding process, I definitely think that they need to try to trade away some of that big money. Plus, you know, like they don't have a great record, but they do have players on their team that are playing well. So if I'm the Giants, I say you should try to add some, you know, like or not add, you should try to sell some, you know, you should try to sell some of your bigger contract players, just, you know, you should try to sell some of your bigger contract players because it's, you know, because as far as the Giants record goes, they're not that good. They're not gonna make the playoffs this year, so try to shed some salary, get some more prospects for your system, even though they already have some pretty decent prospects. You know, you can't ever hurt to add more prospects into your system, so just try to shed some salary, prepare the team for the future, and just kind of get rid of that big money on your team. Now, if you ask me a team I think who should add, it should be the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
The Texas Rangers have said publicly that they're not looking to rebuild. They're looking to add onto the team they already have and try to compete for the future beyond this year, which is a little bit of a stretch for me because a lot of their players are a little bit older and they're on shorter contracts. But at least for 2020, I say you try to add on and try to make a guaranteed push for the playoffs. I say they should add a little bit more to their offense because their pitching staff's been pretty decent. I mean, they have Lance Lynn, who's one of the best pitchers in the league this year, which I thought I would never be saying that at any point this season because, you know, because I saw him pitch for the Yankees a couple years ago and he was really bad. But I guess some pitchers just don't pitch well in for the Yankees.
Hey, I got some breaking news for you.
Oh.
Mike Clevenger will rejoin the Cleveland Indians on Wednesday.
Really?
After getting in trouble last week.
After getting into trouble, and that was the topic we talked about last week.
There's a little slap on the wrist, he's back.
After a little slap on the wrist, he's back for Cleveland.
They need him.
Yes.
they miss it. They miss his arm. That's what it is.
Yes, that is true. It's like the Indians definitely need some help because they're really tight with the White Sox for second place in their division. And you know, with the new playoff format this year, first and second place teams of all divisions will make it to the playoffs.
Right.
And I'm not saying they can't overtake the Twins, but the Twins are playing really well. So I would say at least for Cleveland, try to compete for that second spot. But, you know, obviously it was kind of a little bit of a slap on the wrist for Clevenger because now they need him and now he's back. So that doesn't really surprise me. But, you know, but going back to the Texas Rangers, I say they need a little bit of help in maybe both areas, you know, like not too much. Maybe just add another decent bat, another decent pitching arm, just to kind of solidify that team even more. And the reason why I think the Rangers should definitely add is because you're in the same division as Oakland, and they've been on a tear all year. And with the Astros, who have been on a tear the last week and a half, 2 weeks, you know, they didn't have a great start to the year, but here the last couple weeks, they've been doing really well. So if the Rangers want to make the playoffs, have a guaranteed spot in the playoffs instead of shooting for that 7-8 wild card seeds. They should definitely add to try to make their team a little bit better.
They should also not load the bases when they're down 7 runs and give up a grand slam. But that's
true too.
That's last week's news.
Yes. But that's really all the sports stories I got for this week. Neil, do you have anything?
Yeah, I do. I got a few things to talk about. Sounds like Smalls is still wound up about baseball. But as he's calming down from all the baseball news, we had a doubleheader in NASCAR this weekend.
Yeah.
We were not at a road course. We were at an oval. We were at the Monster Mile, Cody.
Monster Mile.
We were at Dover in Delaware. That's about the only thing the state of Delaware has got going for them is a cool racetrack called the Monster Mile.
Yeah.
But we had a cup race on Saturday, cup race on Sunday. Now, this was a weekend full of racing. I'm just going to talk about the cup races. But they had a truck race on Friday. They had the Xfinity race early Sunday, Xfinity early Saturday, Cup Saturday, Xfinity Sunday, Cup Sunday. So they had 5 races in 3 days.
Wow, that's insane.
It's a lot of racing.
That's
going
a lot
on.
Of racing.
It was really cool to see. But I'll go ahead and give you guesses on who won the races. Who's the most predictable? Who's the people that are just, you cannot stop them right now? There's 2 drivers.
Kevin Harvick. And Denny Hamlin.
Yes, and Kevin Harvick won Saturday. No, excuse me. Denny Hamlin won Saturday. Kevin Harvick won Sunday. Yeah.
Jeff Ayers.
Shocker, right? Yeah. So there, I mean, good gracious, I don't know who can stop them, if anybody can stop them. But this doubleheader weekend put them back on normal schedule. You know, they had the 2 months off because of COVID. Then they started back, you know, doing those Wednesday night races and all that stuff. And then they had the doubleheader weekend this weekend. And now they're back on normal schedule. They have 1 more race before the playoffs start. One more race. We're going back to Daytona. We're not on the road course. We're on the oval, okay? One of the most unpredictable tracks out there, because one mistake by one guy can take out 15, 20 cars in one move. That's called the big one, right? That anything can happen in this race. So just going over the point standings for the playoffs, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We got 10 drivers that are for sure in the playoffs because they have won this year.
Right.
So the people that don't follow NASCAR that well, if you win a race in the regular season, you're in the playoffs. You're at least going to make it in the top 16.
Right.
Whether they have 16 different winners, or right now they have 10 different winners, and then they have 6 more guys fighting for the final 16 on the cutoff.
For the final seeds.
The one I'm paying attention to the most in this cutoff is Jimmie Johnson.
Ooh.
We know who Jimmie Johnson is.
Yeah.
Even if you don't watch NASCAR, you know who Jimmie Johnson is.
Absolutely.
7-time Cup Series champion. Been with Hendrick Motorsports the whole time.
Yeah, he's been there forever.
Drives a 48. Used to be Lowe's. Now it's Ally Banks. But still that big yellow 48. You can't miss it. He is ranked 17th in the playoff standings.
He's
right
there.
He is 4 points away. He is 4 points away from being number 16. So if he wins at Daytona, he's in. He does not have to worry about points at all.
Right.
Because points is about, you know, if you finish in the top 10 in each stage, you get stage points. First place gets 10 points, tenth place gets 1 point. It kind of goes down as the further you go back.
Right.
But here's what's interesting if he has to race based off points and he's like, if there's no chance in him winning. His teammate, William Byron, who drives a 24, you know, 24 was made famous by Jeff Gordon back in the day.
Right.
William Byron is number 15, okay?
Ooh.
So there's a tight spot, and they're teammates. So if you're William Byron, do you compete and race hard and potentially keep your teammate Jimmie Johnson out, who says this is his last season, and that would keep him from having one more shot at title number 8?
Right.
Or do you do what you need to do and help him get in based off points? Because William Byron could run a good race.
Oh, yeah.
And Jimmie Johnson could still get in based off points because Matt DiBenedetto is in between them.
Right.
He's not a teammate. They can take him out, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what you're going to have to watch out for in this race is the emotion of desperation, okay? Because like I said, there's 10 guys that are in the playoffs. There's 10 guys that could run 45 miles an hour on their apron all how many laps of this week and be just fine.
Right.
They're in the playoffs, okay? But there's other guys that if they win, they're in, or if they get in because of these points, they're in. And if, you know, there's some of these guys that have no shot of winning unless some big crash happens, which usually happens at Daytona. So you could have somebody like, you know, Chris Buescher or Corey LaJoie or somebody like that that's running mid-20s, late-30s in the rankings on during the race.
Right.
There's a big crash.
There's a big crash. They could potentially win and make it automatically.
And then if they win, they're in, right?
Right.
But there's guys that are fighting for, you know, position within the point standing that would love to go ahead and win. That way they don't have to worry about points.
Right.
You know? But it's going to be interesting.
Wow. All comes down to this then.
I mean, no better time than the last minute, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what is exciting about it being the last race of the regular season and being at Daytona where they start the regular season. Because, like I said, these guys, they're desperate to get in, the ones that aren't locked in. So they're going to do whatever it takes.
Right.
These guys at this race, they don't get spaced out very much. They run 2, 3, sometimes 4 wide, and at Daytona they can reach 200 miles an hour easy. So it's going to be some tight, very intense racing. It's a night race this weekend. I really encourage y'all to watch the race. It's going to be crazy. It always is at Daytona, especially on the oval. I'm not a Jimmy Johnson fan per se. I've always appreciated what he has done.
Right.
I was a Jeff Gordon fan growing up, and then I didn't like that Jimmy Johnson won more than Jeff Gordon. That's beside the point. but I'm a Kevin Harvick fan now. I ain't got to worry about Kevin Harvick fighting to get in. He's in, obviously. He's won 7 races this year, or 7 or 8, so which is crazy to think. But I hope Jimmy gets in, man. I really do. I'm pretty sure it's going to be between Denny and Kevin who wins the championship, because once you get into 16, you basically have to run really good or win to advance and to win to the playoffs.
Right.
But I would love –
and since they've won so much, it's
– Exactly.
Right.
And the way this season's formatted, where there's no practicing and no qualifying, and the better you do through the season, the better you start in a race, you know, based off their algorithm they have and all kind of – they got some kind of crazy equation figuring out how they start the starting positions now, which I don't understand.
Huh.
But I would just, even if he doesn't make it to the next round, after if he only makes it to the first round,
right,
playoff,
makes it the first round,
I
and
would
loses.
Love for Jimmy Johnson to have one more shot at number 8.
Oh yeah,
because he's tied right now with Dale Sr. and Richard Petty
for most wins,
because
most championships.
Well, I might be wrong saying that. I won't say the most, but right now he's tied with 2 of the biggest legends in NASCAR. All 3 of them have 7 championships. Which leads me to say that at Darlington they're all doing throwback paint schemes because Darlington's an old school racetrack. Jimmy Johnson's car, the bottom half is black like Dale Earnhardt's car, and the 48 is the same font as the 3, and the top half is blue and red like Richard Petty's car, and it's the same font as the 43 used to be, which is really cool because that's 21 championships within one car right there.
Oh,
that's,
I know,
really cool to see.
That's really neat.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope Jimmy gets in.
Oh yeah,
and I hope if he doesn't get in, I hope it's not because of William Byron, you know?
Yeah.
Because I mean, the other two Hendrick guys, they're in because they've won. Bowman and Chase Elliott,
right?
They're in. It's going to get interesting though. Next,
sure.
I got some great news as a Charlotte sports fan, Cody.
You did?
Guess what?
What?
The Charlotte Hornets have the number 3 pick in the NBA draft.
Yes, they do this year.
They were projected to be either 7 or 8, which I had no expectations of them moving up at all because they have not moved up in the draft in 21 years, okay? They have either stayed the same or dropped, okay? We were robbed back during the time when we went 7-59, okay?
Oh.
We won 7 basketball games. That was in a lockout year too, okay? And we got the number 2 pick.
Oh.
And New Orleans, the team that left Charlotte, got Anthony Davis, and we got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Okay?
I remember that.
Now we are picking 3 after we had jumped, okay? We were supposed to be 8. We only had, like, I want to say a 6% chance of getting up in the top 3, and we did, okay? And now this draft isn't the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. Okay?
No, it's not.
This draft isn't super-duper loaded, which I think is more of a exciting thing to say that we do have a top 3 pick in the draft this year.
Right.
And for y'all that don't know, Minnesota Timberwolves have number 1. Golden State has number 2.
And of course they
now,
do.
You know, if you're if you're a part-time basketball fan, you know Golden State is their great team.
Right.
But if you weren't keeping up with it this year.
They did not have a great year.
Draymond was hurt, right? No, he played some.
Yeah. Draymond played some, but
Klay Thompson was hurt.
Curry was hurt.
Curry broke
pretty
his
much
hand.
All year.
Yeah, KD was gone. He was hurt over in Brooklyn, yeah. Right? They only won 15 games this year. So they had – in the old school draft lottery, they would have had the best chance of getting number one pick because used to the worst team had a 25% chance of getting it.
Right.
Now the bottom three all have the equal chance of
all
I
have
like
equal
14%
chances of getting
or something
it.
Like that. So it was a for sure known fact that Golden State was either going to be number one or number two. I don't think Golden State keeps this pick. I think they traded it away. I'm not sure for who. I don't know for where. I don't know. For a reason why they would draft that high.
I mean, like for the team they have, they don't really need a number one, number two overall type player because their team's already really good. So they don't really need to have a really high draft stock player. But like for other teams that would love to have a pick that high, they can maybe get a lot in return for
exactly.
that pick, you know, because that team on its own is already really good and they don't necessarily need that number two caliber player that other teams obviously do need.
Right, exactly.
So they could get a lot in return for that number
right,
two pick.
But if they keep the pick, from what I've heard so far and what I've read, it seems like they're going to take James Wiseman second overall because it's either going to be LaMelo Ball or Anthony Edwards going number one, which Anthony Edwards sounds like another Markelle Fultz to me because he was one of those guys that he looks like a really good ball player.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. But if he's so good, how come Georgia didn't win that much? You know, I know that basketball is a team game. I get that. But if you're supposed to be a number one overall pick, why is your team losing so much?
Right.
You know, kind of like Markelle Fultz was in Washington, kind of like Ben Simmons was in LSU. You know, ESPN, before they were all over Zion, they talked about for a long time was Ben Simmons.
Was Ben
LSU.
Simmons, yeah.
But every time they showed Ben Simmons highlights, LSU was losing. They lost a lot. But, I mean, I don't know. Anthony Edwards probably will go number one. I don't see him going number two. If he doesn't go number one, I think he falls really, really far.
Yeah.
I would love for the Hornets to pick up James Wiseman.
Oh, that'd be a great pick.
I figured he would pair perfectly with PJ Washington.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think that would be great. But if he so happens to
go earlier,
or if Mitch Kupchak doesn't get the feel from him, which we'll get in workouts, hopefully, if he doesn't get the feel for him, you got to go with Obi Toppin from Dayton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got to go with him.
Just like everybody's been saying on the radio, I've heard on several other podcasts, I love the phrase, and I can see the T-shirt now in teal and purple, there ain't no stopping Obi Toppin. I love that phrase. And I know he's a player is more than just a phrase, but I think that would be, you know, just great to have on a T-shirt, by the way. But I think Obi Toppin is a phenomenal player.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's got a kind of like an Anthony Davis-like story where he was a undersized player in high school and was only like 6'2", 6'3", went to a prep school, and then is at Dayton and has grown 7 inches since high school. He's 6'9".
I mean, like once he got to college, he just grew up like a monster.
Yeah, he did. So he went from 6'2", to 6'9", from high school to now, okay? People are saying, well, he's not young. He's 22. 22 is young.
I was the best he did. He's 22.
We're so used to just drafting 19-year-olds now. It's spoiled us. Get somebody that has decided to stay at school and work on their shot, okay? Because that gave him time to grow into his body. Because when you grow 7 inches that fast, sometimes you can be a little clumsy, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm really fine with either Obi Toppin or James Wiseman.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that we could run into some kind of conflict if we get Obi Toppin because him and Miles Bridges play so much like each other.
Yeah.
That might be an issue. And Miles Bridges has, you know, he had a rough season to start out, but I feel like there's so much potential with Miles Bridges.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And he could be another face of this team as they're building up. But I trust Mitch Kupchak in this decision. We picked Michael Kidd-Gilchrist second overall because we had Rich Cho, and he also gave Nick Batum all that money, and that's another podcast. I trust Kupchak in the decision. He was with the Lakers for all those awesome years.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Now, that wasn't all his decisions. He kind of joined in on that. but he maintained those great decisions.
Right.
He drafted really well last year and the year before. I mean, if it weren't for him, we wouldn't have Devontae Graham. And look what Graham's turned into.
A beast.
An absolute beast. So I'm excited. Hornets fans, you know we hadn't had much to be excited about in the past 5 or 6 years. Well, maybe since 88 kind of deal here and there. I'm excited about those three picks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm perfectly fine with Wiseman or Toppin. I really am.
Oh, yeah. So, same here. Absolutely.
But the last thing I want to talk about today, Cody, I got to play Madden 21 this week or this past weekend. They had a they had the 10-hour free trial on EA Access or EA Play, whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
So I figured, you know, I'm going to buy it. I know I'm going to buy it because I've bought every Madden since 2002. I'm not going to skip it now. Even if it is the same game for the past 8 years. But I've enjoyed it so far.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's been some glitches here and there, but, I mean, what game doesn't glitch the first week it's out?
Oh, yeah.
It happens. I mean, there's a part where if a player has long hair or dreads and they run past the camera, sometimes their dreads go from about 3 or 4 inches long to about 300 inches long. They kind of just stretch out like a worm. They don't know what happens, and they kind of disappear. So there's a few glitches here and there. The defensive line controls are awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I sent you that video.
Yes, you did.
I put it on Twitter, too, where Brian Burns just obliterated the right tackle, where you just hit bull rush on the right stick. That's really cool to do. The new goal line animations are awesome, where you don't even have to tell the player to reach out for the goal line. If they get hit around the two or the one, they're reaching out automatically.
Right.
Which is really cool.
Right. And I've played Madden, too. And that was always something that was really frustrating, is, like, whenever you're, like, being chased down, like, you know, like, towards the side and towards the corner, and, like, the only possible way that you could get by a defender is if you somehow managed to hurdle over him.
Yeah.
Or just...
Or dive.
Dive and just hope that the animation would take him far enough into the end zone.
But it was really cool. I was running for y'all that want to play as the Panthers on there. They're not too bad, which makes me wonder they need to update some of the AI settings on there, because in this 10-hour trial, I've played through a part of a season on franchise mode. I think DJ Moore is a great wide receiver. Well, he's a good wide receiver for what he is right now. But there's no reason why I should be playing on All Pro and DJ Moore should have 24 touchdowns in 12 games so far.
What?
There's no way that
No,
I mean,
no way.
I get that's a video game, but I'm playing on All Pro, okay? I'm playing and on sim mode, which should be the most realistic setting.
Mode.
I'm loving that I'm dominating right now there, but there's no reason why I should have 24 touchdowns with
DJ
Moore.
No
hit DJ at all. But that video game, it has some adjustments it needs to get on, for sure. But like I said, those new animations are awesome. Panthers fans, just a little tip for playing Madden 21. Put P.J. Walker as your second-string quarterback. He is almost unstoppable on fake field goals. Because on Madden, the holder is your second-string quarterback.
Right.
You run a fake field goal blast where the holder just picks it up and
runs. Right.
You almost can't stop him.
Really?
If they block just right, you can run for days. He's gone.
Huh.
And that's how I realized the new goal line animation. I was half a yard short. I got stopped at the goal line for a fake field goal one time. And he reached out, and I was like, I didn't do that. You know, that was really cool to see that the animation was doing that.
Right, the animation kind of made him reach out.
Put P.J. Walker at your second string on there, because he's not super-duper fast. But he's quick enough to get around that line.
Oh, yeah.
About 8 times out of 10, which is really cool to see.
That's really cool, man.
But, I mean, of course I'm going to buy Madden.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it could be a terrible game. I'd probably still buy it just because it's Madden. I mean, like I said before,
Madden,
EA Sports gets my annual $60
donation
every year. September, October, or August or September. I think that they didn't put too much in this year's game because they're so much into the next gen stuff, which will be out, which I've already vocally said that I will be selling my Xbox One once the Series X comes out.
Yes.
Because
saw your post on Twitter about that.
Yeah. Cause that's about me. The only way I can afford to buy an Xbox Series X is if I get at least, I think I can at least get $250 for my Xbox One X, which is a pretty good console too. But I think I got to upgrade to the new graphics. They just look awesome.
Y'all
didn't know this was a video game podcast, but it talks about sports too, so it's okay. But that's all I got, Cody. You got anything else for today?
I think I'm good, man. I think I'm good.
Cool deal. Well, with that being said, that's our show, folks. I hope y'all have a great week. Follow us on our socials. You've heard it in the breaks and you've seen it on the show notes below. And excuse me, have you subscribed to our podcast yet? Do you follow our podcast on Spotify? Well, don't worry. Allow me to do it for you. Hey, Alexa, subscribe to Reverent Babble Podcast. Hey, Google, subscribe to Reverent Babble Podcast. Hey, Siri, subscribe to Reverent Babble Podcast. All right, I did it for you. You're done, okay? Now, also go on there and rate it. Give us a review. Subscribe if my, you know, golden voice of this podcast did not do it for you just then. But if it did, you're welcome. Repay me by leaving a rating or review. Y'all have a great week. And as we close out the show, Alexa, Google, Siri, play Deeper Than the Holler by Randy Travis. Bye!